Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each episode, we count down our top five favorites in a different category, from movies and music to the totally random. Get ready to laugh and maybe even yell at our picks. Let's get into this week's High Five.
All right, so this was my topic this week.
It was. Yep.
Do you want to kick us off real quick?
You can do it.
Okay.
It's your week.
It's my week. That's a good idea. Whoever's week
it's
it is
week.
Is the host. Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. I like that. Why didn't we think of that before?
I don't know. We needed AI to figure that out for us.
Yep. Anyway, all right. So welcome back to the High Five Podcast, where we each week rank our five favorite items within ever-changing topics. And this is a big one because America is turning 250 years old. And so I feel like we'd be remiss to not cover this.
Sure.
We're a ranking podcast, so to speak. And so I thought it would be a good topic. And Katie actually brought up the idea that maybe we could elaborate on this a little bit more into subtopics if we want to stay patriotic. But this one is the top American moments or the...
Yeah, moments, events, however you want to label it.
The greatest American moments, I think is what I called it. So, some of mine are like the founding stuff, right? So like the things that like political beginnings of our country and things like that. But then some of mine are like pop culture and technology. You know, if you know me, you know I like my gadgets and... you know, technology. So that matters to me quite a bit. I've got a movie on here. I've got something having to do with the internet on here. And and a healthy bit of it is touched by like Disney.
Okay.
So what about you?
I mean, mine's more focused on, I guess, the political side of this. I don't know. I mean, only, you know, one of mine's kind of the beginnings. Two of mine are things I've lived through. And then the other two are just kind of big cultural world events that happened before my time, but still kind of impact the world today. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay.
So it's kind of a broad spectrum. Yeah.
All right. Rob wanted me to mention January 6th. He thought that was a
big moment. Cuz he was there. Right? He was there.
Right. And
he was one of the ones pardoned, right?
I mean, you think about it, how close was it to that being one of the most impactful moments in American history? Like if they would have been able to kill Mike Pence.
Yeah. I mean, we probably wouldn't have Donald Trump as president right now, though, unfortunately. So.
Yeah. So anyway.
Although who knows? Who knows at this point in time? So.
So when I mentioned to the friends tonight that this was our topic, it kind of got that dark pretty quick. I felt I felt out of place. I came into it like thinking more patriotic, and for a lot of people, you know, it was very, you know, it's a complex discussion at this point, you know.
Well, I think,
and then on top of it, we got the World Cup going on, which brings everybody together.
Yeah, I just think you know, right now patriotism for a lot of people is hard.
Yeah,
you know. I think there's a lot of stuff happening where you kind of feel like, do we have another 250? You know, So I get it. You know, I probably resonate with that a little bit. So, sure.
Yep. But, yeah. Okay. All right.
But so. It's still, like you said, it's 250. We should still celebrate or talk about things that have been important and in the country.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, we still live in a great country. It's just, it's sad to see where we could be and where we are.
Sure. Yep.
And so, you know, we strive to be better. So, yeah. But that doesn't mean we aren't going to accept where we are.
No perfect society.
No perfect society. That's right. So anyway, sorry to get political on everybody, but probably.
Well, I mean, inherently this topic.
Getting political tonight.
I was going to say inherently this topic is relatively political when you consider the fact that what a nation is held up by is politics. I mean, that's what a nation is a system of rules and laws, which is politics. Yeah. So.
And in the end is good. Like, it's good to have this sort of system where you have checks and balances. Like, both sides are meant to exist. There's not meant to be one side and no other side. You need to have both sides. And, you know, contrary to what some people might think in our current atmosphere, it's got to be equal. It's got to be, you got to have both sides.
Yep.
And everybody has to have a voice. But anyway.
Okay.
Should we jump into it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. All right. First, before I start, I have to show this.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'll wait to show you because it's related to one of my five.
Oh, it's a Trump flag.
It is. Dang it. How did you know? So I'm going to start off with my number five.
Okay.
Is the internet, the American web boom, so to speak, you know, having to do with like Netscape and Silicon Valley.
Yep.
So I'm starting somewhere it's kind of surprising to think of like this being one of the greatest American moments, but like, America started this. They started the internet. I mean, you. If you actually want to get technical, it was a British guy who was working at a lab in Switzerland. That's where, like, that's where it started. Started like that's when the first circuits were, you know, in motion, and you know, computers were able to connect with each other. But as far as like, you know, it getting popular, it was, you know, American grad students at a University of Illinois. You know, they built Mosaic, which is like one of the first web browsers. Yep. And so that was like the first internet that you could like point and click pictures next to text, you know, that was actually kind of more like the internet we all know, you know, when you open up your Internet Explorer or your, you know, Safari. And then it went on from there. There's a couple of other guys started Netscape. But like this was, you know, right around the time that I was probably around Vivian's age, you know, so 12, 13, 14 years old, you know, we got our first Macintosh computer. We had Netscape on it. We had America Online on it. And this was like the first, like, this was the first moment that you felt like the world was bigger than just where you could drive in a car. You know, it was like, it was bigger than your neighborhood. You could like talk to somebody long distance and not have to wait for mail. And, you know, and then, you know, got into voice and, you know, obviously the phone did that, but, you know, obviously went then into videos and stuff like that, like we're doing right now.
Yep.
So.
Yep. I definitely remember AIM. That was always a fun thing. So.
Yep. AIM. Yep. So, yep. So that's my number five. You know, I definitely remember, you know, our first modem was one of those dial-up modems that would make all that.
Yep.
So it was a moment, and it was very impactful, and we obviously would not be where we are now in doing what we're doing tonight,
Yeah.
Without these moments. So
yeah,
that's my number five.
Yeah, definitely a huge moment for sure. All right. So my number five, was from July 17, 1955. Any ideas?
Nope.
Okay. On July 17, 1955, nearly half the nation watched on TV as Disneyland opened live in Anaheim, California. Yeah. Pioneered. So again, this to me is just a huge, I mean, I think, you know, there were definitely like amusement parks pre this, but like nothing I think has, I think Disney and Disneyland, Disney World has changed kind of the way we, as a society, kind of go to theme parks or think of theme mm-hmm. parks or interact with that. So it was just a huge moment, you know, Sleeping Beauty's castle, the animatronic Jungle Cruise was there. You know, just a huge moment in, just society, just, you know, something that was groundbreaking, was different, was unique, was Walt's vision. So I've never been to Disneyland. I want to go really bad because of that. But, yeah, I just think it's a huge cultural American moment. And the fact that that many people watched it on TV is just crazy to me. You know, you don't have those cultural moments anymore necessarily where everybody's tuned into the same channel watching something
that like happened that. 26 years before I was born, and I've seen the video.
Yeah,
I've,
yeah,
know, and I've seen that, you know, the videos of when the park was opened and
yeah,
and him making that speech and all that, and yeah, that was iconic. 26 years before I was born.
Yep. So just a huge cultural moment, and just in my opinion, the, one of the biggest in American history. Mm-hmm. So,
yep. Cool. That's a good one. I like it. All right. My number four. Is Star Wars.
Nice. Okay. Yep.
So May 25th, 1977, the movie that didn't just become a hit, it rewired what movies even are. And made Hollywood the entertainment capital of the entire planet. You know, so obviously we all know that, like, movies didn't start in the United States. You know, they started in Europe, Germany, and France, and, you know, all those other European countries that are very artistic. And, you know, so we are definitely playing some catch-up. And this... I would say, you know, it's hard to really say when Hollywood really took over as like a leader in movie making, but this was definitely, if they weren't already there, this definitely cemented it, you know, when Star Wars happened, because it went from just being something you could go watch to it was a spectacle. It was an experience. It was a mythology that you were like entering into. And this whole idea is what we still celebrate to this day, you know, when we go see Marvel movies, when we go see, you know, other big movies that are made to be on the big screen and be experienced with a big group of people, with the oohs and the ahs and the laughter and the, you know, the really dramatic points. This was the moment that, like, you know, that the U.S. was really on the map in that regard, in my mind.
Sure.
If, you know, I obviously this happened 4 years before I was born, but going back and thinking in, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking it, thinking about, you know, what was the start of it, you really have to think Star Wars was that moment that we were on the world stage as movie makers.
Yeah, for sure. A huge cultural moment. Yeah, I mean, you hear people all the time talk about their first time seeing Star Wars in the movie theater. So,
yeah,
nice. That's a good one. Yep.
And it's crazy because, like, for a long time, like, nobody wanted to buy Star Wars. Like George Lucas was
trying
to sell them. And Disney, you know, Disney made the move. And now you go back and think about just how iconic all those little decisions were.
Sure. Yep.
So, anyway. Yep. That's my number four.
Nice. All right, so the next two for me are ones that I lived through. So this was kind of my thought of big moments in American history that I can remember, that I was a part of, that I was aware of, that kind of impacted not only, you know, the country and the world, but kind of me personally. And the first one was... So it started as a tragedy, obviously 9/11, you know, was, I remember 9/11. I remember where I was. I remember the tragedy, but for me, the biggest thing that happened from 9/11 was that like post 9/11 kind of unity where we all kind of came together as a country. People were kind of, you know, looking out for each other, trying to support each other. It was one of the few times that I kind of felt, you know, like patriotic or yeah. felt like, you know, yeah, there was something more here. And yeah, it was just, you know, I mean, you know, you had the whole Congress singing on the Capitol steps on the evening, singing God Bless America. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that kind of happened, you know, even the SNL right after 9/11 with Rudy Giuliani and all that kind of stuff. It was just Yeah, it was just a really interesting time. You know, we went from this terrible tragedy into what felt like kind of this brother or sisterhood, whatever you want to label it as. And it was one of the few times where I had felt that. You know, you heard stories about, you know, like after Pearl Harbor, you know, other big major historical events. But this was the first one that I can remember where it kind of was like, oh, yeah, this is, you know, we are all Americans. We're all in this together. You know, we all found something good out of a terrible tragedy. And I think that was really probably the last... I mean, there's been other tragedies since then, but really, I feel like that was one that was really unique where we, and, yeah. yeah, yep, yep. I yeah. thought, you know, I think COVID had that for, you know, maybe a month, and then, you know, crazy theories maybe came out and all sorts of stuff happened. Yeah. But I still feel like 9/11, yes, I know there are people that are saying 9/11 is an inside job or yada yada, whatever. But for a long time, that post 9/11 unity was huge. So
that's a good one. Yeah. That's a really good one and well put. Okay. All right. So that's your number four?
Yep.
Okay. My number three, I'm taking a real shift in gears here as well.
Okay.
I'm going with the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863. But it feels right. It's, you know, some moments are just too big for, you know, it to be funny. And the Emancipation Proclamation is this is the hinge the entire country swings on. So for me, this is the moral turning of our country where, you know, we wrote about it all. We wrote about this vision of a country where all men are created equal. We wrote about it in 1776, 250 years ago.
Sure.
But this is when we actually decided we were going to, you know, put our money where our mouth is, sort of, you know, so to speak. So, yeah. Big moment in history. And it's funny, you know, I'm reminded by this a lot because there are, there's a lot of respect paid to Abraham Lincoln. At Disney World and Disneyland. And also, you know, we've seen the movies, you know, with, you know, the Lincoln movie with Daniel Day-Lewis. And so we've all seen the stories and seen it portrayed in different ways. But, you know, just learning about Lincoln and what he did and what he stood for. And, you know, it's just been really helpful to me. But one of my favorites is... the Funny or Die Drunk History, where what is it? It's got Don Cheadle in it. Will Ferrell is in it. Don Cheadle plays Frederick Douglass.
Okay.
And Zoe Deschanel plays Mary Todd Lincoln, and Will Ferrell plays Abraham Lincoln. And nice. It's so funny, and it's all about, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation. And so, But it's a, you know, it's a big moment. We can't, yeah. we can't get to where we, you know, we envisioned our country without this moment. Like we were, yep. we were always envisioned to be a country of equality, and freedom, and where everybody has an equal chance. And, yeah, so that's my number three.
Nice.
Serious, yep. serious pick.
Just had Juneteenth too. So yeah.
Yeah. And that's what the, my friend, you know, our friends at dinner said is make sure you mention yep. Juneteenth. It's because that yep. was like the official day yep. that everybody was free.
Nice. Yeah. That's a great one, which flows perfectly into my number three.
Yes, I got it.
Well, yeah, my number three couldn't happen without the Emancipation Proclamation. And again, it's a, for me, one of the big moments in my life. And that was November 4th, 2008, when yes. a first-term U.S. Senator from Illinois was elected or secured 365 electoral votes to John McCain's 173, and that is the election of Barack Obama. Again, you know, politics aside, for me as somebody growing up in America, this was a huge moment. You know, we always had old white men as presidents. Yep. But then to have the first black president was huge. I yep. mean, it really, you know, obviously there's been some repercussions that have happened because of it, but I think the positive aspects outweigh so much. You know, being there was always, you know, nobody ever believed it could ever happen or would ever happen. Yep. And it did, and it was incredible. And so he was the 44th president of the United States, and arguably for the 8 years that he was president did an incredible job and was under the microscope the entire time and
fighting against opposition.
Yeah. The time. I mean, the stuff he would have had to do and the stuff he had to overcome, yep. is just incredible. I mean, for me, like it was a huge moment in my life. That's why it's number three for me.
That's a great one.
Yep.
But I was talking to Katie last week. She's like, you guys agree way too much. You need to like tell
well, but
each
the
other
point
you're
of this,
stupid.
But it's our list though. It's I like, know. It's, I can't disagree with your list. It's your
if
list.
I also
like,
agree with it.
Yeah. Well, and even if I disagree with it, it's your list.
Wrong.
I can't argue. Yeah.
Wrong.
There's no right or wrong. That's your list. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just had to.
Energy. Yeah, I understand.
All right, so we're on to number two. My number two is the moon landing in 1969. So my whole list this year is about moments where America was the best in the world and everyone else looked up to us. So this is the one where we literally looked down on everybody else from the moon. July 20th, 1969. So this is
yep.
the single greatest technological achievement in human history, full stop. We set a goal
sure.
as a country that sounded like science fiction, because it was. Like, we literally watched yep. movies and TV shows of science fiction of people doing this. So we set forth to put a man on the moon and bring him home. And did it inside of one decade. With slide rules in computers weaker than the phone in your pocket.
Yep. A lot weaker.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yep.
There is no bigger the world looked up to us moment in our country's history. So it's literally the version of it. So why it's number two behind only one thing. The crazy thing I want to talk about is what happened after. So like once we made it to the moon and we beat the Soviet Union, Nixon was our president and he was cutting things. And so cut budgets, the, you know, yep. and you know, the interest in it from, you know, just the, you know, people around our country, you know, people were just not interested anymore. We went sure. there and done that.
We did it.
Nothing yep. else to do. So they were making cuts, and they decided between the, you know, the Apollo program and the, you know, the Saturn, you know, the space, the what is it? Would it be the what is it called here? The space shuttles, you know, going out and like doing other things other than just landing on the moon, essentially.
Sure.
So they cut one, and that was the one they cut. And so, you know, a lot of people think that like we lost the blueprints, or we lost the, you know, we forgot how to go to the moon, but it wasn't so much that. It was just like the people retired, the contractors and the contracts that you had with those contractors lapsed, and budget, like I said, budgets got cut. And so like just over time, the built up skill set to go to the moon was lost, and so we had to literally reinvent it to go with the Artemis program that we're currently, I think it's, we're planning to land on the moon in 2028 with humans, but it's exciting. Yeah. I mean, are you as excited about this as we are in our house
about Artemis or about the moon landing?
Artemis.
I mean, I think it's cool, and I think it's crazy that we haven't really been back.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say I'm like on edge about it or anything like that, you know.
Well, we're still 2 years away, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely watch all that when it happens, and
yeah,
we'll be interested. But yeah, it's not like it's. I'm not monitoring the progress. You know, I watched Artemis when it circled the moon and all that stuff. But yeah, it's not.
Yeah, I'd say I'd probably check in on it like once a week sort of stuff, but it's, you know, not much going on right now.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay. Well, my number two and your number two are the exact same. My number two is the moon landing.
Boring.
I know. And it was for all the same reasons. I know you had internet as your number five, but I just feel like as far as like technology and kind of what set us off on the course for all of the technological advances we have, kind of started with the moon landing.
Yeah, I mean,
that's kind of where it all started from. And, you know, and satellites,
still where a lot of the innovation comes is because of things like the Artemis program. Like, we're pouring a lot of money into research on things.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So I just think it's a huge moment, and to me it wasn't even like necessarily, you know, you were talking about like the, like, you know, we beat you to it. To me it's just like the idea that we put this much effort and manpower and unity behind this project is something we don't see often. And you know, we said, hey, we wanted to do this, and we did it in a relatively short period of time. Is pretty incredible, and not something we do often.
I have another one where we did that, where we decided we really wanted to do it, and we did it. The Dream Team.
The
1992.
The Dream Team. 1992. We did it. And have been dominating ever since. So. No, but yeah, it's just a huge moment that changed all of society. And it's, you know, unfortunately in 2026, we have people that don't believe it happened. So, yeah.
So if, I mean,
it's a weird, bizarre thing.
Obviously it's been covered, and people have talked about this, but you know, it's the show on Apple TV, For All Mankind. You know about this show? Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's where basically Russia wins the space race, right?
So it's an alternate reality where Russia lands on the moon first, and it pisses America off, and we get way far ahead because we've been going to space and going to the moon, and we've set up colonized the moon along with other countries, and it actually, you know, the United States is in a much better place as far as a lot of scientific breakthroughs and advancements.
Sure. Yeah.
It's one of my favorite shows. It's really good.
Yeah. It's nice.
Anyway, that's how you know, like, cause
it's huge. Yep.
Cause clearly that's what would happen if the Russians would have made it first.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
There's a alternate reality, alternate universe.
We would have had woman president by now.
Yep.
Nice. As displayed by For All Mankind. All right. So that was my number two. That was your number two also.
Both of our number twos. Yep. Yep.
All right. So, ooh, I'm interested to know what your number one is now.
I don't think it'll be the same. I think we'll have different ones. Okay. I don't.
All right. You're probably right. All right. My number one is the Declaration of Independence, the original 4th of July. So a list about America being the best in the world at things. This is the one where we were first, not the best, the first. So two reasons, and it wasn't close. So first, this is the whole ball game for 250th episode. This is the 250th. July 4th, 1776 is the birthday, the date we're counting from. Everything else on my list, the moon, the internet, Star Wars, all of it happens after this. So because of this, you don't show up to somebody's birthday and rank the cake fifth. The decoration is the bake, is the cake.
Okay.
But anyway, so what is it? You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident or something like that, that all men are created equal. So that was the most radical idea anybody had put on paper up until this time. So kings ran the world, right? You know, it was monarchies and, you know, kingdoms. So the whole planet ran, you know, another way, and we decided to disobey, and it was treasonous to do so. It's just so interesting to think about. Obviously, we're a very flawed country, and we're evolving all the time, but we can't enjoy the things. And I feel like we've affected the rest of the world because of the things we've done, right? You know, we've forced the world to be better, and turns out some of the world is now better than us, but this is the beginning of it, right? So this is my number one.
Okay. I mean, if you talk to a historian, arguably we're not the first democracy, but that's okay.
First democracy.
Sure. we got our entire idea from John Locke, who was a Dutch philosopher or whatever.
Yeah, but if you ain't Dutch, you ain't much.
That's right, exactly. So we're close-ish as far as our number ones. I didn't do the Declaration of Independence because while it's an important part of American history, I don't think it's not what we are governed by. So that's why I went with June 21st, 1788.
Yes.
Which is the ratification of the United States Constitution when New Hampshire became the 9th state and last state necessary to ratify the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So again, yes, the Declaration of Independence is important. It's what we use for 4th of July celebration, what we mark as the beginning of our republic. But I would argue the ratification of the Constitution is more important because that is literally the document with which we still use to this day to govern and to, you know, enact laws, to set up our structures. You know, everything revolves around the ratification of the Constitution, which was not, you know, an easy process. It took a long time. Yep. You know, it was finished. The Declaration was Constitutional Convention ended in September 17th, 1787. And we weren't ratified until almost a year later because there are a lot of states that were not happy and, had some quirks and kinks to work out. And Alexander Hamilton needed to write all of his documents to support it. It finally happened with New Hampshire being the 9th. So obviously there are five that in December of 7th that signed on Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Georgia, and Connecticut.
You're
and
supposed then, to sing it.
Oh, I can't do that. It's not happening. Trivia question. What was the last state to ratify it? Do you know?
Virginia.
Nope.
New York.
The smallest state.
Connecticut. Rhode Island.
Smallest. Rhode Island. Yep. Rhode Island was the last one. Yeah. So anyways, that's why to me, you know, again, it's what, you know, when you think of America and the government and the Constitution is what we all point to or deem to be the important document. And it wouldn't have been if it wasn't for the ratification in June 21, 1788. So
nice.
Number one. Maybe we should, instead of 4th of July, have June 31st or 31st of June be our new holiday.
National holiday, yeah.
Although 4th of July sounds cooler than
we could celebrate 31st
of June.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. All right. So those were our top fives. Honorable mentions. I've got a few.
I don't have any. I mean, I could pull things up real quick, but I didn't list anything down there.
I had MTV launching in 1981.
Mm.
It's, you know, kind of the age.
Video killed the radio star.
The new age of watching music, and it was kind of like our generation and the generation before mine. This was our like big social. Like consciousness coming alive sort of thing.
Yep.
Pop culture, so to speak, you know?
Yep.
So that was one, the personal computer, but I also put it like with the iPhone. So like Apple in general, I guess you would say, because they were so instrumental in having the first computer that you could have in your home. That was,
you know,
something that you could afford and put in your home. And then the iPhone was, you know, basically putting all of that into your pocket and making it something that you could do more than just make phone calls on.
Yeah.
And then another thing I had was the Civil Rights Act, the I Have a Dream, kind of we'll put that together, 1963-64. But, you know, just enormous moment where more needed changes were put into motion, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then the Constitution, like you mentioned, the Declaration was the dream, but this was these were the inner parts. This is the scaffolding to hold up the dream, you know, and this is how it was running. Yeah, so that one just fell off. That was actually on my list until all the pop culture stuff was thrown in there by our friends.
Nice.
And then the other one I had was the Wright brothers in 1903. They flew a plane.
Yep.
They flew I don't even think it was called a plane at that time, but they flew for 12 seconds.
Yeah.
And but it, you know, brought on all of the aviation advancements that we take for granted now, where we can just fly to Florida multiple times a year because we feel like it would not be possible without people like the Wright brothers. So
yep,
that's a big one for me.
Yep.
So nice. Yeah, what about you? You think of any as I was talking?
The 1955 Montgomery bus boycott was always, you know, a huge kind of started the civil rights movement for the most part. I was reading about that today. It was interesting. Like they like set up like, cause you know, they couldn't ride the bus. So then they would just have people and they would set up, people just drive people like in their cars would just take them from where they needed to get to. And, Rosa Parks was a dispatcher for that service to try to get people to where they needed to go via cars and stuff. So, yeah, I think, you know, just a huge moment, you know, the civil rights, all that kind of stuff is hugely important for sure. You know, kind of what, So I didn't have anything else. Like I said, I just kind of did the five and rolled with that. So
nice. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's more than a moment, though. But, like, you know, Disney is such a big, you know, obviously we mentioned Disney in more than one of ours.
Yeah.
You know, parks and entertainment. And,
yep.
But, like, that is, like, the epitome of the American experience / dream. So, like, I guess it can't really be a moment. It's just more of, like, an idea or a...
Yeah.
An ideal. But I guess you'd be remiss to not mention Disney. And obviously, we, like I said, we did mention Disney very many
times. Yeah, yeah.
So I guess we did pay its respect. But yeah, that was a good one. Did you enjoy that? Wasn't too
political? No, it was good. No, nope. I mean, we could have made it political, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
But no, I think, you know, like you said, I mean, we are talking about 250 years celebration coming up in next Saturday?
Next weekend, yeah.
You know, that's a huge moment in the nation and in the world. I mean, it's a unique something and something that should be talked about and discussed. And, you know, we should think about kind of our history, good and bad.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes we can sometimes look through our history with rose-colored glasses, and sometimes we need to take more of a realistic look at it. And that's not a negative thing. That's something we should do. So no, I think it was good. I don't think it was, you know, there were moments where I thought, I don't know, you know, is it all just the early days or, you know, what do you focus on? But,
right.
I thought it was a fun episode. I thought we had a wide variety.
Yeah. I think it's important. I think it's important to look at all of it. You know, it's important to know where we came from and pay respect to the people who, you know, affected our country in good and bad ways. So that we can move forward and learn from the good and bad things and, become better together. Because that's like the forefathers, you know, really envisioned, is that everybody is meant to be heard and there are checks and balances and everyone should have a voice. And no one's voice should be squelched out.
Yep.
So
cool.
Go USA. The USA, Morocco. US men's soccer team is starting in 33 minutes.
I know.
Final game of their group stage.
I know. I don't know if I'm going to stay up and watch the whole thing, but I'm going to stay up and watch the majority of it.
But I'll probably fall asleep.
Yeah.
But we've already clinched next round, so it's...
No, I know. But it would be fun to kind of see if we can close it out with 3 out of 3, which we've never done.
Yeah, so. Pulisic's plan, it sounds like.
I haven't seen the starting lineup. Is he in the starting lineup?
Keep a couple guys. Oh, I don't know, but it sounds like they're probably going to need him now because they're keeping a couple guys out because they're on yellow cards.
They're four. Yeah, they're keeping four of the starters out. Yep.
Yeah.
So. But again, I mean, ultimately, it doesn't necessarily matter win or lose, but it would be cool to see some of the other guys who haven't gotten to play a little bit. That, you know, that'd be cool as you're thinking maybe you're not going to be able to get into the World Cup, but now you got a chance because of the yellow cards and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So it'd be cool.
Yep. Cool, man. All righty.
All right.
Anything else to say as we think about our country? Should we say the national anthem before we get out of here?
Should we sing it? Or do we need to do the Pledge of Allegiance?
Or sing the Kazakhstan national anthem.
I could go...
Kazakhstan, greatest country in the world.
I could go pull Reese out of her bed and she could do the Pledge of Allegiance in Spanish if you want.
Yeah, go do that. Go.
I don't know it. So I wish I did, but I don't.
All right. Well, we'll really get out of here now.
Go America.
Good chatting with you. And we'll see you all next time.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the High Five Podcast. We'd love to hear what your high fives would be or what you thought of ours. You can find us on Facebook or email us at thehighfivepodcast@gmail.com. Or just say hi if you know us in real life. And a big thank you to our friend Trevor Durheimer for the awesome intro and outro music. See you next time!